Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
On Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, turn over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so swing on over there tomorrow. Something should pop up there sooner rather than later. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with me.
So, all right. So you were asking me if, you know, before we got started here, if I had watched the Alliance, I believe is how they're referring to it as. And yeah, out of the four of us who do the podcast, apparently I was the only one who watched a little bit of both games that were televised. But I did see yesterday that it beat the NBA in the ratings on Saturday night. Are you surprised by that?
Not really. I'd love to say I would be, but no.
So, you know, and I guess we'll have to see if it can continue. Because remember, you know, the XFL got that huge rating week one and then more or less fell off the face of the earth after that, right?
Pretty much.
So I will say that the Sunday game was better to watch than the Saturday game. You know, the Saturday game was almost devoid of offense, where the Sunday game at least had a little bit in it. So not that it was anything fantastic, but it was definitely an upgrade. And you know, I know the other Saturday night game, the one team scored 40 points. They'd have probably been better off showing that game, but. No, that's kind of just kind of how it goes. So we'll see. I'm sure I'll turn it on this week. You know, this weekend, I think they moved to the NFL Network this weekend. So you know, I'm sure I'll turn it on and you know see how it goes and you know take it from there. But you know, I know their plan all along was not to compete with the NFL, and they continued to use the term developmental, which really makes me feel like I'm watching minor league football, which is kind of what this is. But you know, the biggest problem I had is I really didn't see a guy play who could actually do anything other than maybe be a special teamer in the NFL. So I'm not quite sure what they're developing.
Yeah. Oh, did you recognize anybody? Was there?
There were a couple guys. Yeah, you know, there were a couple guys that I did know. You know, like Sunday, the Birmingham team, their main running back, their number one running back was Trent Richardson, who I believe he was the second or maybe even the third overall pick in the draft when he came out, and he was a complete bust. You know, he started with Cleveland. I think he ended up with the Raiders. And he may have even gotten some looks some other places. I'll have to double check that. But yeah, he was a big star at Alabama, and it just didn't work out for him at all in the NFL. And I guess, you know, this is maybe his way back. Yeah, he was the third pick in the 2012 draft. Spent time with Cleveland, Indianapolis, Oakland, Baltimore, and then played a year in Canada. And he's now with the Birmingham Iron, is the team in the Alliance, as I'm going to stick with it. But, yeah, so I guess, you know, it's a chance for someone like him to maybe get his way back. I saw him score a couple touchdowns, but, I still, you know, I don't know any NFL team that's going to go, hey, yeah, let's sign this guy. You know, and I know on Saturday night, the one team had a really good wide receiver, and I think his last name was McKay. And, you know, I was, you know, he played really well, but all I kept thinking was, could he do this against NFL guys, you know, if given a chance? So, I think that's kind of going to kind of be my hang up all season when I watch it is, well, you know, could they do it against an NFL guy?
Now, the talks I heard that there was going to be a lot more offense. Was that true?
There wasn't in the two games I watched. You know, like I said, the one game, the team put up 40 points. But that game wasn't on television. So it was just kind of like, well, great. You know, like I think there were Trent Richardson scored the only two touchdowns in the Sunday game. And, you know, to be honest, I don't know the final of the other Sunday game. I'll have to Bing that here and see if I can see who did what, because I know the last time I checked the website, they hadn't updated it. So I was just kind of like, well, wait a minute, you know, wouldn't you want to get the scores on your website? But, yeah, apparently they did not. And let's see what I can cope with here on the good old Bing. The Saturday games, I got the main game they showed were the San Antonio Commanders and the San Diego Fleet. That was 15-6. Not an exciting game at all to watch. It was really bland, really boring. The other game, the Orlando Apollos put up 40 points, and I saw some of the highlights there. They beat the Atlanta Legend 40-6. The Sunday game that was televised was the Birmingham Iron against the Memphis Express. The Iron won that 26-0. And then the game they didn't show, the Arizona Hotshots beat the Salt Lake City Stallions 38-22. And by all reports, Arizona is supposed to be the best team in the league. I actually saw AAF power rankings. So we'll see. But, yeah, you know, Saturday night did about 3 million viewers. So we'll have to see if that keeps up or how it drops off. But, yeah, I don't know, because, you know, you had your main game on CBS and it wasn't very good, you know, or maybe that was just our area. So, you know, maybe they'll have a better luck with the, whatever's coming up this week. Oh.
Were you disappointed with their website?
You know, I was looking at it on Friday, Stu and I talked about it a little bit because they were going to, you know, obviously get started Saturday. And, you know, when I first went, it wasn't, you know, anything spectacular. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, this is decent. But, yeah, when I went yesterday, sadly, before I found out you weren't going to be able to make it at 5:30, which I didn't find out until about 5:15, which was kind of funny. But, There were no updates, and I'm like, come on, it's Monday. These games have been done for, you know, in the case of Saturday, you know, 36 hours. You know, I was looking for, like, updates and stats and reviews or whatever they had, and I was like, wow, because what I noticed is they really bragged about having a social media presence on the website, and I was kind of like, this isn't really the way to get it by not updating the website, is it? But yeah, after that, that was it. I went back one time, and to be honest with you, I probably won't go back again. You know, I'll use your favorite search engine and, you know, Bing whatever I need, and, you know, if the site happens to have it, great. If not, you know, I'll just pick it up wherever, you know, wherever else I can get it. But I did see, and I can't remember who it was. I think it was the Raider guy we had on a long time ago now, who probably has his own podcast like anybody else who's ever been on with us. He's actually in a fantasy league for the Alliance. And I'm like, you're got to be kidding me. Because he posted his draft on Twitter. I still follow him on Twitter. And it's Nick Jeltness or something like that. I can't remember. I'm sure I butchered his last name. Sorry, Nick, if you still listen to us. But, I was just kind of like, okay, do we know enough of these guys to actually do a fantasy league? But, yeah, he apparently is in an AAF fantasy league. So, yeah, imagine that.
Well, Saturday morning I heard the line on, the betting line.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always going to be gambling. You know, I mean, people gamble on anything. But, yeah, I was just like, man, do I know enough people to, you know, to actually do this? But, yeah, I actually ran into an article here on fantasypros.com on the best waiver wire pickups for week two. So, yeah, I'm as big a sports fan as anybody, and you ain't getting me into any kind of, AAF fantasy league. I'm sorry. But, yeah, like, okay, here we go. So, yeah, are you going to find some time to check it out one of these nights?
I'll try this weekend. Hopefully I don't forget.
So, yeah, well, I tweeted you guys. I reached out to you guys wanting to know if you or Mr. Fantasy was watching. But, as we know, we have a difficult time getting him to reply on, with anything.
Yeah, no, I ended up having to work Saturday, and then we were out to dinner and had the hour-long wait. You know how that goes.
I do have the schedule for this week, and their setup is two Saturday games, two Sunday games. The times are a little different this week. Saturday they have a 1 o'clock and a 7 o'clock. It starts with Salt Lake City at Birmingham. That's the 1 o'clock game, and then Arizona at Memphis is the 7 o'clock game. Sunday it's the same time. It's 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. These are central times for Dan and I. Sunday it's Orlando at San Antonio and then Atlanta at San Diego. And this is actually off the AAF.com site. Interestingly, they don't tell you what station any of these games are going to be on, because I saw an ad, like I said, I think the NFL Network is picking up a couple of these games.
When I looked yesterday, they had it on there.
Yeah, what I also did learn is, you know, one of their selling points was the games were going to be faster. Yeah, they weren't that much faster. The boring, and I hate to say boring, but it was boring, Saturday night game took over 3 hours.
But there's no kickoff.
So, no kickoffs. They just put the ball at the 25-yard line, which doesn't really eliminate anything. There's less commercials, and it is quite interesting because, like, the refs, you actually do hear the refs discussing replay calls, and they do at times will let you hear the play call in the huddle. So, you know, like, that stuff is pretty cool, the way they use the technology there and that. But, you know, just because the refs are talking about the replay doesn't mean it goes any faster. So...
Yeah, but here goes. The first game that you mentioned, the Saturday at 1, is on TNT. The 7 o'clock
oh, okay.
is on the NFL Network. Sunday at 3 is the CBS Sports Network, which I don't get. And then the Sunday night game is on the NFL Network, which I don't think I get either.
Yeah, so I will be able to watch all 4 games if I would like. I probably won't. I may watch bits and pieces of each of them depending on how they go. But yeah, I don't see myself ever sitting down and watching an entire game. So you know, we'll see how it goes. Who knows? Maybe I'll change my mind later on or you know what goes with it. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't know.
I'm like, now, what did you think of the new rules? Well, not new rules, but the different rules.
You broke up a little. I didn't hear your question. You must be in your favorite spot.
I said, what did you think of the new rules or different rules?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it didn't really seem that different. I mean, it's, you know, like when they score, it's very familiar to a high school game because they have to go for two. And in the majority of your high schools, especially at the lower level, they go for two because you haven't developed a field goal kicker yet. You don't have a guy who can go out and make extra points. So, you know, that gave it kind of a high schoolish feel. And you know, not having kickoffs doesn't bother me because, you know, in today's game, most of them are touchback anyways. So getting rid of the kickoff is no big deal. But, yeah, that was kind of it. I was more surprised that, you know, being that it's a developmental league or whatever you want to call it, they didn't take more chances. You know, there were a couple times teams had 4th-and-3 or 4th-and-4, and they punted. And I was just kind of like, oh, I thought for sure they'd be going for it there. So, but, yeah. You know, and we'll see how it goes as they move along and, you know, if it gets better. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not competition for the NFL. In no way, shape, or form. And we'll see if maybe they can develop players somewhere, somehow, but we'll see.
So does this make you more intrigued or less intrigued when the XFL
You know, actually, it made me a little more intrigued because I'm interested to know kind of where they're going to get their players from. You know, it's kind of like, you know, obviously the NFL has the best of the best. You know, the CFL gets its share of quality athletes. You know, these guys were guys who, you know, the Alliance have guys that just miss making the roster or, you know, their practice squad players. stuff like that. So, you know, now granted, they do only have eight teams, so there are still more of these guys out there. But, yeah, where in the hell are they, where's the XFL getting players from? So, you know, and I know they are, you know, they're going to, the XFL is going to pay better than the Alliance. So you wonder if, you know, that might make a difference with some guys, but I don't know if they're really, you know, with the exception of maybe a Trent Richardson, if there was anybody that would be interested in making that move. I don't know. You know, we'll have to see. But, you know, while we're on football, you know, I have to ask you, because this happened, I don't remember, it was yesterday or Sunday, but Kareem Hunt got another job. You know, the Cleveland Browns signed him. You know, obviously he was, the Chiefs cut him, and he was put on the commissioner's exempt list after his run-in with that female where he ended up pushing her and kicking her. So he's got another chance here. Apparently there's going to be a suspension along with the fact that he did miss about, I don't know, 8 or 10 games or whatever he missed last year. So they're going to have to deal with that. So, of course, Dan, the first question is, how many games does he get suspended for? And then I guess, should they bring him back? Because, you know, I got to hear the argument again about how they don't believe this guy should be playing. Of course, you know, I don't know why, if he serves his time, but I've never understood that. So what do you got? How many games for Hunt did you feel he should be back in the league?
6, and why not?
So, yeah, I never understand these guys who come out and just destroy these guys when they do that. I mean, how many, you know, sports writers or news reporters or whatever go out and get a DUI or something like that? And I get, you know, this ended up being, you know, a little more violent because there was physical contact. But you could, you know, you got a better chance of killing somebody if you get behind the wheel drunk than you do what he did. You know, I mean, while it is still abuse, I don't think the woman's life was in any jeopardy. But, yeah, they, you know, they want this guy done where, you know, they still get jobs, you know. They didn't lose their job. They get to keep their job. I mean, I'm baffled on how they take such a hardline stance against these guys.
Well, that's what you do when you're perfect.
Yeah, but I think we know that none of these guys, none of these people are really digging in their background. You know, go through all of their tweets and, you know, all that other stuff that they do. You know, I'm sure there's something there somewhere. You know, at a college party or something to that effect, you know, something probably happened. But,
no, they weren't at the parties.
You know, you wouldn't know by this, so.
I think you're giving them too much credit. They weren't at the party.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they may have just, you know, showed up and, you know, been thrown out or whatever. But, yeah, I'm just always kind of, you know, I mean, obviously, I have no issue with him being disciplined, you know, and he should be. But, yeah, I don't understand the complete, well, no, you can never play again. Okay, so what the hell do we do with the guy? You know, and then we had, while we're still on football, I can use this to slide right into baseball after this. Kyler Murray commits to football, Dan. Told the A's he's going to be a football player. He gave back a percentage of the bonus. I guess he didn't have to give it all back. But, you know, he gave back, you know, the majority of his signing bonus, and he's getting ready for the combine. Now, you know, we're talking about a 5'10 quarterback who the best game, you know, the best team he faced in college was Alabama, and they got beat badly. I guess they're not laying any of the, you know, the loss on him. I keep hearing he's a first-round pick, and he's going to be a big star, and I have a difficult time buying this, but, you know, he obviously he'll make more money in the NFL because somebody's going to have to pay him. You buy in this move, or you think he should have stayed as a baseball player because he looked decent in, you know, the highlights I saw last year?
I think he should have stayed a baseball player. But, I mean, like you said, he initially had to make more money, but you got to wonder, did the league learn anything from the Johnny Manziel draft?
So, I was just kind of baffled. I mean, you know, I'm hearing all these, you know, these great things, and you know, everybody thinks with the new, you know, the way the NFL is now with the new rules, he's going to be hugely successful. But I don't know if I buy it. I mean, the guys are going to be bigger, faster, and stronger. And, you know, I mean, so as fast as he is, he's, you know, he's not going to be faster than all of them. As small as he is, you know, that's a danger for a running quarterback, which is, you know, what he's going to have to be. I just don't know, but everybody, you know, I mean, there was talk that the Cardinals would take him at number one, and, you know, the Giants are sitting at six and the Jaguars at seven, and they should take him, and I actually heard somebody say the Raiders should take him at four. I'm not buying this, Dan. I don't think he's gonna be, you know, hell, even Baker Mayfield.
Well, you know, maybe in a couple of years, by the time he's really ready, being touch quarterback only rule will be instituted.
Yeah, maybe. You know, they'll be wearing flags or something, and you'll have to pull the flag off them. So, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. And so,
yeah, I don't buy it. I think he'll get drafted, but I think if any team's smart, they don't take him in the first round. You'll hear all the reporters talking about how stupid they are.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, obviously we'll see here really soon. I'll be interested to know how he does at the combine. You know, even though I believe, you know, most guys do really well, it's kind of set up for guys to succeed. So, well, you know, we'll see how that works out. But yeah, I'm not as close as a lot of these guys I've been listening to, you know, have been on him. I'll be interested to know when the real draft guys get into it. You know, the Kuipers and McShays and, you know, the NFL Network guys really start to break them down where they have them going. You know, because they're a lot more accurate than just kind of the boobs that are on there now talking about them. They don't know any more about them than you and I do. So, but yeah, we'll see. And now, you know, I guess the question, and I guess it's almost hard to explain, but you know, if you're the A's, how do you feel about this? Because you know, when you drafted him, he told you he was going to be a baseball player. He just wanted to go back one more year to play football, you know, at college, and then he was going to be committed to you, and now all of a sudden he's gone.
Shafted.
You know, I mean, you don't, I don't know, I guess they wouldn't do it because he's supposed to be talented, but I mean, you don't think they're bitter enough to just not have any interest in him when he wants to, if he wants to come back?
No, I think if they could find a way to hold him right that way and then just hold him back, maybe that might be the bitterness. But if he decides to return to the sport, I think they should be the first one to be able to go after that. Or decide his
Yeah, because I don't know. Do you know how long they hold his rights by any chance?
No. I never even thought to look that up.
You know, of course, I guess, you know, it might be different with him because he actually signed a contract. So, but yeah, you know, we'll see what happens with him. I don't see NFL stardom, but again, what do I know? You know, he could be the next great thing. So, but you know, excitingly, Dan, we got. I know there's a few camps opening tomorrow. You know, pitchers and catchers are going to report. We got some stuff going. You know, stuff going on, and you know, sadly for a guy like Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimbrell, it sucks that they couldn't get a deal worked out, and it's probably going to affect them now the entire season. But you know, we did get a couple late signings here. The Giants did sign an outfielder. Now his name wasn't Bryce Harper. But they inked Gerardo Parra to a minor league deal with the invite to spring training. The A's are going to bring back Brett Anderson. I know he got a one-year deal. And then I saw just lately here, this was just before you and I went on the air, the Marlins added Sergio Romo to their bullpen. So the last couple of days, Marlins have added some veterans. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, not big signings, but the closer we get, you know, I mean, these guys want to be in camp. I don't know, you know, one of those jump out, anything you like better than the other one?
I simply like the Romo deal. I think he, you know, proved that he could still perform in Tampa, so it's not a bad one. I did check, and I don't know the terms of the contract for Kyler Murray, but the A's are able to retain his rights.
Oh.
So I don't know the terms of that and how far off into the future, you know, that'll go. But I'm assuming it's, I wouldn't say a lifetime, but probably for a little while.
The next stop will be Henley Park, 80th Avenue.
So, yeah, and then, you know, just... you know, a couple of the pitchers that I thought would have jobs that don't have jobs. Clay Buchholz is still hanging around out there. Your guy, Yovani Gallardo, is still out there. Gio Gonzalez is still out there. And, you know, I mentioned Dallas Keuchel. And even Irvin Santana is still out there. I know he's 36 now, but I thought somebody would at least take a look at him, you know, invite him to camp. But, yeah, you know, those are the starters that are still hanging around out there. You know, Kimbrel is really – well, Bud Norris is still out there as a reliever. You know, I know he had some success closing for the Cardinals last year. And, you know, then some of the – I guess you'd call them lefty specialists are still hanging around. You know, the guys who come in and get a guy and then leave, you know, Xavier Cedeno – Dan Jennings, Boone Logan, Aaron Loop, and then Tony Sipp are still hanging around, and Jake Diekman's another lefty that's out there. You know, I'm really surprised that these guys, you know, didn't earn. You know, maybe they turned them down. I mean, we don't know what kind of contract they were offered, but yeah, I'm surprised a lot of these guys are still hanging around out there. Are you?
Definitely. So it's pretty interesting, but you know, one of the things I picked up, and I wanted to get this in before I get off the commute, you know, 30 of the under the radar acquisitions. And I thought you might like this one. I'm not going to give you all 30 because some of them, kind of play more towards the team. But I wanted to go kind of with teams that may have more of a chance. But even though I don't know where the Blue Jays sit, I wanted to get your thoughts on their signing of Matt Shoemaker as their number four for a one-year, $3.5 million deal.
The biggest thing, and I think we both know it from any kind of fantasy, is where is he health-wise?
Yeah.
You know, that's always been the biggest hang-up with him. You know, I mean, he was one of those guys that was going to, you know, help rebuild the Angels with that, you know, with that, they had him and Garrett Richards, and I'm drawing a blank. They had one other guy, and they were going to be their big three at the top of the rotation, and none of them could stay healthy.
Nope.
So, you know, that's, you know, that's definitely going to be the key. But, you know, obviously they got him on a low money deal, so that, you know, that's not going to, you know, not going to hurt. That, you know, that's a, it's worth the risk, I guess, is the way you would look at it. I mean,
yeah,
you know, if he doesn't work out, you didn't spend a lot of money on him, and you're only tied into 1 year. So,
not bad. So, the Yankees went and picked up, and this one's more of one of those like feel good stories. But Danny Farquhar is hoping to make the Yanks bullpen. Do you see that happening?
Sadly, no. I hope they, you know, he makes the, you know, at least kind of hangs around and they put him in AAA or something. But, you know, you're looking at what is probably going to be the best bullpen in baseball. And while it's a fantastic story, you don't win World Series with fantastic stories. And I just, you know, I just don't see a spot for him. You know, I mean, again, it would be great, but, you know, they, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Chapman is going to close. You know, you've got Betances and Britton to set him up. You know, Chad Green is actually one of the better relievers in baseball that people don't really talk about. You know, obviously they added, Adam Ottavino. You know, Tommy Kahnle is another one of those guys who goes 800 miles an hour. And then they have Jonathan Holder, who was kind of underrated last year, you know, as a reliever. So I just don't think, you know, sadly, as cool as it would be, I just don't think there's a spot for him.
Yeah.
No.
So the Twins picked up a guy that was traded from the Yankees to the Cubs, and then the Cubs released him. Ronald Correa. Nice little travel for him this offseason.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's your prototypical utility guy. I mean, he'll be a solid bench player for him. You know, can play second, short, and third. You know, he's a good defender. He's not a great hitter by any means, but, you know, he's definitely serviceable. You know, he's one of those nice guys to have on your bench. So,
yeah. That's kind of what I thought. But this one I've liked the most so far, and I didn't realize this one happened. You know, the Angels picked up Justin Bour for their first base slot.
Yeah, you know, well, he was Mr. Fantasy's guy a couple of years ago. Mr. Fantasy was all over him. You could say that about any first baseman because that's Mr. Fantasy's position. But, you know, yeah. I guess my problem with this is where his at-bats going to come from. You know, I know they're saying that Otani's not going to play till May, so he may get some at-bats early in the season, but after that, I don't know where they come from because, you know, Albert's going to play first and Otani's going to DH. You know, Bohr isn't one of those guys you can kind of plug into the outfield and just like, okay, well, go get a game in here. So, yeah, I wonder after, you know, once May hits, how many at-bats this guy is going to have.
Yeah. Last one in the AL West that I just kind of thought was interesting, and I totally forgot about it, but the Astros, you know, let go of Marwin Gonzalez after they traded for Aledmys Diaz.
Yeah, well, you know what was weird about this is, like, when Diaz was a Cardinal, I really thought he was going to, turn into something. And, you know, he had a pretty solid year that first year with them. But, you know, it's one of those things with them is when St. Louis kind of gives up on somebody, I always wonder about them because they seem to really know what they're doing. But obviously, you know, the Astros need him to be the new Marwin Gonzalez. So he's going to get a chance. So, you know, we'll see, you know, how he does. And, I mean, another guy, you know, I know he can play the infield position. But I don't know if he'll have Gonzalez's ability in the outfield. So, you know, that's going to be something we'll have to look at. But, yeah, he's definitely going to get his opportunity.
Yeah, so shooting over to the NL East, this guy, you know, had a pretty great career in Minnesota and then disappeared into the Dodgers lineup. Do you think he's going to make that difference playing second base for the Nationals, Brian Dozier?
Yeah, you know, yeah, he is one of the more interesting guys. You know, I want to see how his spring goes because, yeah, I mean, as good as he was for the Twins, he was just as bad for the Dodgers, if not worse. And I was really, really surprised by that. I mean, I thought he was a great pickup for them, and it was really going to help out. And, I mean, good Lord, he was the definition of bust. You know, I mean, did he even hit 200 with the Dodgers while he was there?
Well, he didn't even, I think he started one game in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you know, that was sabermetrically driven, though. So, you know, we knew he wasn't going to do that. But, yeah, he hit .182 with the Dodgers. You know, I mean, if he gets back to his career .246 average and puts up 30 home runs for the Nationals, I think it's a great signing, don't you?
Yeah. Now, you know, this one didn't go under the radar because it's local. Daniel Descalzo to the Cubs playing second base. The only reason I didn't like the deal was because they still have Ben Zobrist. What are your thoughts on it?
You know, obviously he's here to fill the void while Addison Russell is suspended. You know, he's going to probably fill the utility role that, you know, because my guess is Zobrist is going to be the everyday second baseman. You know, Javi will play short every day. And then Descalzo gets to pick up, you know, that Ben Zobrist stuff, get second, short, or third, or left, or right, because he can do all that. Again, once Russell gets back, I don't know what or how they kind of will do it. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, Madden is, you know, the one thing Madden is good at is juggling guys. So we'll see if he can juggle this into something when everybody's good to go.
Yeah. Now, I forgot about this one. I really like it. I wasn't sure on your take of it. The Pirates signed Lonnie Chisenhall for 1 year in the outfield.
Yeah, you know, another guy that, is he going to be healthy? You know, I mean, I just kind of wonder, you know, how, you know, he seems to get nagging injuries that just last. I mean, here, looking it up, he played 29 games with Cleveland last year. He did hit really well. He hit .321 in just those games, but he only played 82 the year before that. So, you know, how many games is he going to give him?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a good player when he's healthy, and he looks like the Pittsburgh kind of guy. You know, he's got modest power, a solid average. And, you know, he doesn't appear to do anything spectacular, and, you know, those seem to be the kind of guys that go to Pittsburgh and all of a sudden they have really good years. So, it looks like a really good fit, but, yeah, again, my question is, how many games are they going to get out of him? I mean, are they going to get 120? Or are they going to get 50?
Yeah, so to wrap up the Central, this one was a little Central heavy. I kind of liked it, but then I didn't realize Zach Duke was 35, but the Reds only paid $2 million for a year. So not, you know, kind of that under the radar.
Well, I knew you would like it. I mean, they're, you know, Zach Duke. It's interesting what the Reds are doing, and I think he's a really good fit. You need a veteran guy, you know, and as long as he can get guys out, I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see how that team kind of comes together this year. I like what they did. I'm not ready to say they're a playoff team or they're going to win the Central, but it does look like they're finally going to be improved.
Yeah.
So, when Yasiel Puig ends up winning the MVP, we'll see how it goes, but,
I'm rooting for him, trying to convince my wife to go. Yasiel Puig bobblehead day is Thursday, July 18th. I was like, don't you want to go to Cincinnati for your birthday? So this one I don't even really know how I feel about it, but we talked about it before, the Dodgers. I think we just didn't really talk about it, but you just listed off the signings for the week and or the day, and the Dodgers inked Russell Martin. So I'm really not sure what to do with that one.
Honestly, I thought they did this because they were going to trade for Realmuto, and Martin, they were going to send Austin Barnes in the package to get Realmuto, and then Martin was just going to be kind of the veteran backup. This is one of those things that if Barnes doesn't produce now, it could get really ugly because you're going to have to turn to Martin as your everyday catcher.
Yeah.
So I don't know, in the Dodgers' case, let's hope Barnes is what he is, and he's a top defender, a good handler, and just probably a below average hitter. But that can still work in that lineup, because you don't want to see Martin catching every day.
No, and the last one I definitely know we talked about this one, but is he going to get playing time in Colorado, Mark Reynolds?
Yeah, Mr. Fantasy and I were talking about this Sunday, because there's a lot of people that I've read that are really high on this signing. But, I just, where are the at-bats going to come from? Because it looks like Daniel Murphy's going to be the everyday first baseman. So, the at-bats aren't coming there. He's not taking at-bats away from Arenado at third. I know he can play the corner outfield spots, but, man, that's a big outfield for a 36-year-old guy to have to cover. But, he could hit 30 home runs in limited playing time there, because that's just the kind of hitter he is. So, I don't know. if he gets the at-bats, it could be fantastic for, a fantasy owner who's willing to take a chance on him late in the draft. He could be one of those guys where you reap the benefits or you're cutting him after a month.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any in-between. It's going to be feast or famine. So, overall,
a lot of, the White Sox, the Royals made some that I thought were okay, but, with teams like that and their position, do under-the-radar signings really, really matter unless it, gives them a nice return if they're able to trade by the trade deadline?
I think really all it means is, it's for fantasy guys. Stuff like that is what we're looking for, because you got to find these guys. But when you talked about under the radar and you went to Pittsburgh, did you lift the wrong outfielder by any chance?
No, that was their list. I was just strictly going off their list.
I know I tweeted it to you on Sunday, so you probably know, but they signed another outfielder, that could be really under the radar to get some at bat.
Keep going.
So
they
signed your guy Melky Cabrera to the minor league deal with an invite to spring training.
I did read that earlier today.
You know, yeah, I made sure to tweet that to you right away on Sunday when I saw it. I was like, oh, Dan's going to want to know. You know, Melky could have a job. So.
Do you think he's going up there?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them keep him as a fourth outfielder and like a bat off the bench. You know, I think that's a role he could fill really well. So, I don't see him as an everyday guy, but I do think, I don't know for which one it is, but I think Polanco or Marte is going to miss the start of the season. So there might be a couple at bats for him early, you know, and then he could, you know, because obviously, you know, it's easier for a veteran to come off the bench and pinch hit and, you know, do all that stuff. And with the way pitchers are handled now, you know, you need those bats on the bench because a pitcher gets, what, one at bat, if that, in a game?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he's got a shot. You know, I mean, I don't think he's going to play very much. But, he's got a shot to hang around. He hit pretty well with Cleveland when they called him up last year.
Yeah, I totally forgot he was there. I mean, I think we knew they were going to the playoffs, but I think I just totally forgot about the Indians. One of the cool stories I tweeted to you or whatever over the weekend, I don't know if this is over the weekend, but the Giants had their fan fest. And, you know, Bochy talked about the text he received from Bumgarner that if he decided to, well, let's be honest, if the Giants, I can't remember that guy's name in the front office, but if they decided to use an opener in his game, in his start, he's, you know, walking. He's not saying. So I want to ask your thoughts. I just want you to give your thoughts because I already know what you think of it.
You know, I mean, obviously, I'm sure he meant this tongue-in-cheek because Bumgarner actually has a really good sense of humor. So, you know, I'm sure he was just kind of messing with Boch because they've been together for so long. Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's got a stunt like him, you know, a Kershaw or a Sale or, you know, Verlander. I mean, throw any of those big names out there. If you use an opener for one of the starts, whoever decided it, be it the manager or the general manager, be immediately fired. Because obviously, he has absolutely no clue how to run a baseball team. These guys, I mean, what are you shielding a guy like that for? You don't want him to face the top of the order. So but yeah, I got a really good laugh out of that. I thought that was so humorous that he threw that out there. You know, it was to see what and he was looking at stuff. They had a guy come off and do the first inning and all good findings.
Well, you know, I'm sure he'd get a small fine here or there, but I don't know. I kind of like that, you know, that he's standing up for what he does.
The whole opening thing is hilarious to me because it really doesn't change the game in any aspect. Because once you go to the opener, you go to your starter, the starter goes through the same lineup. He's just not facing those three guys to start the game. Instead, if everything goes well, he's facing them in the fourth inning. So it didn't change anything. So it was just some goofy move that Tampa Bay came up with because they probably didn't have any confidence in the guy they were running out there. So they were like, okay, well, let's throw – I think it was Sergio Romo was the first guy to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, let's throw Romo out there and see how long he can go. And, you know, I guess the biggest mistake was he had success. You know, I think he went two or three shutout innings. And then, you know, we're off to the races. This is the greatest idea in baseball, and, you know, it's a copycat sport as much as anything. So you damn well know once they had success, everybody else was going to start looking at it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, if you know that the team you're going up against, i.e. the Dodgers, that might be the ones you start with the opener with, because we all know now that the lineup's coming down sabermetrically from the front office.
Yeah, if there was a team would do it against, it would be the Dodgers, because I would start with either, you know, for whoever it was, I would start with a one-handed pitcher, you know, be it a righty or a lefty, and then the next guy I bring in would throw the opposite hand. Because
yeah.
I would want to make them flip their lineup and use their players, and then late in the game, if it's a close game, they don't have a bench. So yeah, they would definitely be the team. Yeah, now that I know that Roberts doesn't have control of the lineup card like a real manager should, yeah, I would be all over them doing that to them. You know, I would, you know, one day I would start a lefty and he'd pitch an inning or two, and then I'd come back with a righty. And then the next day I'd start a righty and come back with a lefty, you know, and just really make them, you know, make them crazy. You know, with the changes they would have to make.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, as you're talking about it, I'm thinking, you know, we've already talked about eliminating the home plate umpire from calling balls and strikes. And once you do that and you kind of eliminate all the you know, the mismanaged plays by umpires or whatever, because it's because of the instant replay, and we get a quick turnaround, how long before the manager is obsolete? And you just have the players down there, and, you know, there's just an iPad or whatever on the wall, and
yeah.
You have a bench coach.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if you think about it, isn't Dave Roberts just a glorified bench coach?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got no control over his lineup. He's got no control over his bullpen. What's he managing?
His paycheck now.
So, you know, and I do wonder if we're going to see this more and more. And I actually wonder if it's going to start here in Chicago next year with the Cubs. You know, because Madden's in the last year of his deal, and I think they've got to – they don't have to win the World Series, but I think they've got to get to the World Series for him to keep it. You know, and then if he's out, you know, is Theo going to bring in a puppet?
You mean a guy like that everybody loves in Chicago, even though he – well, you know. Wasn't really truly a Cub. I would consider him a Red Sox. David Ross, who has no experience coaching.
Right. You know,
is that
the kind of guy
they're going to be looking for?
You know, that would be the question. Would we see something like that done where, you know, this guy is the manager in quotes, but we all know he ain't running the team.
No, I mean, we've seen David Ross on TV. He's good on TV. I'm sure you can handle
yeah.
the media.
So, you know, it I think nothing happened. Music. Time for Dick Ladd to do the music with me. Of course, we'll be tomorrow at 5:30. Call again. We know the deal with him. Look for the new world popping up there tomorrow. I'm going over to Facebook and give that a like, but don't forget to subscribe to Sports Time Radio. This is how I'm doing about that. I'm really like that. But as always, this is coming up and listening live. But don't forget the podcast is available to you to listen to anything you want over at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.